pledge my allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, our fellow patriots, and welcome to the seventh episode of the season. And today we're going to offer the suggestion to gear up for tactical training using airsoft weapons. And as always, we encourage you to share your comments with us. Just email us at podteam@theconstitutioncommandos.org. We're going to get this started without any further ado. I'm your host, Chris Williams. My brother Patrick is your co-host, and you're listening to the Constitution Commandos.
I'm really in a great place to say this because I really just don't have a whole lot of experience. I was playing pool. I look for people rated 3 and 4 levels higher than me to learn from.
Oh, absolutely. That's better. The only way you get better, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like playing people that weren't as good as me because that's just no fun. Yeah, it's just no fun.
I got to get to a place where I can stop. I need to take a break.
I'll definitely be looking up some airsoft places around here. I didn't even know they existed.
I don't know if they, I haven't seen one advertised in our area. Hey, Madison might have one.
I don't know.
Now, granted, I don't have any airsoft equipment.
I've seen it advertised on Amazon, but I didn't think much of it, to be honest with you.
Oh, man, you got to watch some airsoft competition. Find some on YouTube, dude. This shit is crazy, man. Some of these guys go so far out to do nighttime assaults. They'll have their infrared, man. They'll have their damn lasers on the rifles right. To work with the IR. Dude, some of these guys go in there, man, they got kits like crazy. I wouldn't be able to do nighttime stuff because, one, I'm not set up with infrared. I am looking at buying some night vision. I'm trying to find some NODs. PVS-7s. I found some PVS-7s that are in the $1,700 range. They're the Gen 2s, like what I wore when I was in the military. They're fine.
Are you on Temu at all?
Man, I stay away from that. It's worse than Amazon, in my opinion. It's very cheap shit. I've known some people that have ordered some things on there, and they were very dissatisfied. Now, I'm not trying to badmouth anything. I know from my personal preference, I think Amazon, if I were to order something, that's probably as low as I'm going to go for quality.
Amazon and Temu are actually about the same as far as price goes, but I found that finding certain things on Temu is a lot easier than Amazon. Not much, but you can find whatever they got on Temu, they got on Amazon. I'll put it that way. But they do have some night vision goggles I was looking at. And yeah, Amazon's got them for about the same price.
Yeah. I'm looking at some
night
lower
vision,
end.
You're talking about some IR type shit, too.
Yeah, infrared. That's all it is. Now, I'm looking at, I would like to be able to get the PVS-7s, the second generation. So that's what I used when I was in. They got some for about $1,700. It's the single tube,
dual lens,
two eye cups.
Single. Okay.
Yeah,
all
single
right.
Off the front, but two
that's
eye cups
the
in the back.
For night vision driving, I'm going to tell you what, that should fuck me up first time I used
it. All night vision is going to operate in a relatively the same way.
Yeah, because you got no depth perception.
Another thing is, see, back when I was in, when you had IR stuff being utilized, you didn't have the laser capability on your weapons to fire under those conditions, IR lasers where they would flood or anything like that. When I did night qualifying with my nods on, I was looking at muzzle flash, and it just washes out. And that's the way, I'm saying, when I'm shooting at night with nods on, that's the way it came out.
It would blinding you.
Flush it out. And I think I have depth perception issues because of that.
From what I understand from the studies that I've done, because I noticed when I got out of the guard, we did a night vision. It was a night drive.
Oh, yeah.
We did that NVGs. Too. Now, you did it way more than I did. I only did it like twice.
We had to do it to even get our military driver's license. We had to drive at night with nods.
That was the first one I did. But I realized when I put them NVGs on, I was like, what the hell? It's like, I couldn't tell if something was close to me or far away from me.
Yeah.
And then when I took the damn goggles off, I was like, I still can't tell. Yeah. It drove me nuts. But when I did a night drive, Somebody had lit a damn cigarette, and I wanted to beat the shit out of them for that shit. Just them pulling the drag off the cigarette shut my goggles off. But before it did, it looked like I was looking into a welding arc.
Yeah, it'll flush them out. It'll go bright, and it's not good. See, we were trained specifically all the time. We were always trained noise and light pollution, period. We maintain, like that's why, and I'm not a dipper. I don't like to dip or chew, but the scouts, my team leader told me point blank.
Don't you smoke out here?
Yeah, he said, you a smoker? I said, yes, sir. And he said, not when you're out with us. He said, I'll put a bullet in your head. I said, well, sir, I went straight to the Airborne PX and bought me some Red Man. I was like, we're done. Actually, I bought a log of Copenhagen. Thought I'd be able to handle that. And I had to get the log away.
How'd that Copenhagen work for you?
Oh, man, I hate this shit. So then I was like, I got to get my nicotine. So the next mission, I went out there, and I was nicotine poor that first mission. And when I got back, first thing I did was I went and bought me a big old, I can't remember how many packs of Red Man came in it. I went and bought me that. And from then on, I had Red Man in my mouth on these exercises because I'm not one to really go without a damn cigarette. I wasn't too happy about that position. But
well,
I also
I'll tell you
wasn't
what.
Happy about the idea of me being the guy that gave up the position of my unit.
Right.
So my team, that was first and foremost for me, light pollution. You don't light a cigarette. If I did, I had to do it under a poncho that was layered or something. I had to make sure that light, that glow could not be seen.
I'm going to tell you what, after I worked with those NBGs the first time, we were sitting at the armory. The first time I put the NBGs on, and the Humvee in front of me, could see him with no problem. Till I took the NBGs off and I couldn't see him at all. And then I realized how small an area was exposed for me to see that Humvee with the MVGs on.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. And then when I was doing that night drive, and that dude lit that cigarette, my goggles went out, vanished on me. I couldn't see nothing. And it looked
like,
I mean,
go out. They went flush. They went
right.
Because they cut off.
He took a drag out that cigarette. It looked like a welding arc I was looking at.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's it. Just that little bit of light right there. It didn't take anything, really. And I was totally amazed at how much those MBGs pick up. All you need is a little bit of ambient light. That's it.
Yeah,
I would hate to be a chopper pilot coming in on a chem light.
And you'd be surprised how poorly they work when you're in triple canopy, when you get zero light to the earth. And they work off of reflective light. It's amazing. There are situations where they don't work very good at all. But anyway, yeah, some of these guys in airsoft, they go all out. I wouldn't be able to do any nighttime assaults or anything, but I would love to get into situations where we're doing urban assaults. I'd like to get into wooded and jungle type of environment doing it. I would like to hone my skills. I think that would be a wonderful way to do it. If you found an airsoft community anywhere near us, hey,
I'm going to be looking. As soon as we get done with this, I'm going to start looking because I didn't even know these existed, to be honest.
Yeah. Because I got my plate carrier and all. I don't have any plates for it, but I will buy. I'd like to buy an actual tactical helmet, but I'll get a bump helmet, something where I can mount NVGs eventually. Because, see, I'm looking at some NVGs right now, and I know they're lower end. I don't know how well they work. They got a decent alleged rating in the $400 range. And look, I don't want anybody to comment saying, oh, that's garbage. Don't waste your money. I know it's going to probably be garbage.
Go ahead and say it's garbage, and we'll just disregard the comment.
For me.
Just kidding.
Well, this is my thing. Look, I got Binox everywhere, right?
I
even keep
right
an
here.
Extra high power. I got a high-powered scope. I've got things. So I've got a way to observe a distance if I ever had to bug out. But the thing about the nods for me, whether they are cheap or good, if they are functional, that is one additional resource for me. Because personally, with my training, I would rather move under the cover of darkness. So I would probably move more at night than I would during the day. So I would like to have the ability to observe ahead. If my wife and I are moving, I will move ahead of her. I'll tell her, you stay here. I'm going to move ahead. I'm going to pull a little bit of a recon, and I'm going to verify that the direction we're going is safe. Night vision, no matter how cheap they are, will aid me in that ability. Like I said, I do plan on buying some PVS 7s at one time. They've got PVS 13s. They got a few generations of them. But I don't have $3,000. I don't have $5,000. They've got some that are over 10 grand. I don't have the money to put into that level of equipment. And look, I'm not a contractor. I don't work for an overseas contract agency. So if I made the money, and this is another thing that our audience needs to understand, don't buy cheap just to have it. If you're going
to
buy a
don't
gun.
Don't be scared to spend the money is really what it is.
Yeah. Okay. My wife, inexperienced shooter. We got her an AR. She has the Smith & Wesson M&P 15, the Sport 2. There are things different between the first M&P and the Sport 2. Like you got an ejection port cover and you've got a forward assist. I thought those were corrective designs for that weapon that were a benefit. And I think people ought to have on a weapon. So I encouraged her to buy that weapon. Now, the weapon is cheaper than a lot of other ARs, but for her experience level and for where we are, it is a functional weapon. We have good optics. They are zeroed in, and you're going to be able to exceed 10,000 rounds easy through the pipe. But for what we have, she, over time, we can save and buy a higher end, a Daniel Defense, or a higher end AR. But right now, that weapon is suited for her ability and her knowledge or experience level, and it will serve the purpose. Are there better ARs? Absolutely. But I didn't have $2,500 to put in an AR for her with no experience, no nothing.
Right.
And not to mention that we're not rich. Some people that don't have a gun and they want to go buy a gun, some people might have $10,000 to drop on a weapon and say, hey, yeah, I've got $10,000 disposable. I'm going to go buy a bad-ass freaking AR, whatever
make
model. Who the
hell has got $10,000 disposable?
People that make a lot of money. I don't know.
I don't even think Donald Trump's got that kind of money now.
I'm just saying that each person's disposable income is different. Each person's income is different. They make weapons for lower income purchases, and they make more quality weapons in the higher income bracket. But don't think that you have to buy. Don't go talk to somebody that's got an $8,000 rifle and think that if you get a $700 rifle, you can't hit the same target that he can hit. That's bullshit.
I think Dad proved that wrong with that SKS he's got.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, having the rifle and not training on it, or having the firearm and not training on it, the rifle is no good. The training, the person behind the rifle is how, that's what you judge the rifle on. The rifle is a tool. The person is the killer. So that's the difference. And people can buy relatively inexpensive firearms that will suit their immediate needs. And it's just point blank. So when it comes to the infrared, the night vision, I understand there is going to be a huge performance difference between what I can realistically afford right now and what I plan on upgrading to later. Even what I have experience with, I cannot afford. Night vision is very expensive. If I went through a PVS 7, a second generation, I'm looking at a minimum about $1,700 for that. Then you got to have the mount. You got to have the helmet. You got to have a way to affix it so you can use it while you're moving.
Right.
Then you got to have the infrared laser on your rifle. This shit, just that alone is going to put you $5,000-$6,000. That's not all the
guy
equipment.
That you sent me that video for, the guy with that long beard.
Yeah.
He was talking about that Mark 18 he's got. And I'm sitting there looking at that going, dude, that thing ain't much more than a pistol.
Oh, yeah. No, I know it.
He's got a freaking laser sight on it. Oh, no, it's not even laser sight. Is it infrared?
No, he's on the front of the handguard. He's got, that's infrared. It's got
yeah,
two lights
got
on in front of that.
The iron
one's
sights
infrared
on the side?
And the other one is. Yeah, he's got a red dot. He's got optic.
And then he's got the 45 degree hand grip on the front. He's got a weapon.
Well, he's a SEAL. He's a SEAL. And he goes for functionality. Not to mention how many
And by the
real-world
way, that
engagements
doesn't
has he been
mean that all
involved
SEALs go for that Mark 18. He just happens to appreciate that one and he likes it.
in? Yeah,
And
personal preference. It
that's right.
suits his style, his needs, everything.
And I've seen other SEALs that prefer other weapons, but he's got his reasons for preferring that one. And quite frankly, the way he's got that one decked out, dude, that is a badass weapon. He
Well,
said he could hit
absolutely.
300 meters with deadly accuracy with that rifle.
Yeah. And you
That
know
thing's
what? That
pistol
weapon in
length.
your hands or my hand might not be as effective.
I would
Well,
have to venture to say that would not be near as effective in my hands.
yeah, but see, like the
But he's
weapon I
used to
have,
that weapon.
I am uber effective with the weapon I have. I just have to go through time drills. I have to go through movement drills. I need to, and unfortunately, I don't get as much time to do that because I have some rounds, but I have to, if I go to the range, I try not to go to the range until I replace what I already spent and then buy them more. So I'm, unfortunately, I don't get the trigger time that I want or need.
Well,
I
I will
am
say this.
proficient in many areas, just not as many areas as I used to be in.
That Mark 18, that guy is extremely proficient. He loves that weapon.
He's also got the money to buy rounds to shoot all the time.
Well, even besides that, this is something that he's comfortable with. And that, and actually, if you're comfortable with it, that's probably the best thing for you to have.
Well,
Now, me, I'm good with that 38 dad's got.
yeah.
I'm real good with that 38. I'm actually better at it than Dad is. Not
Yeah, and
being
see.
braggadocious. I just shoot that weapon better than he does. Now, I would almost venture to say that I probably shoot that 38 better than that SEAL does that brags about that Mark 18. You know what I mean? But not because he's a shitty shooter. We know that's not true.
It's just a
But
weapon
to,
that's comfortable to you. You're familiar with it.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And that's why they make, that's why there are so many weapons made. And that's why there are so many different companies. And that's why there are so many different price points. Every person is not going to feel comfortable with the
No.
other person's weapon. So,
and even if they are comfortable with the same weapon, one's going to shoot better than the other. And you have to expect that.
But then that's where you look at the rifling, how many twists per inch. And then you got to look at what type of round are you shooting through it. You can take a gun and run you a hypersonic bullet through it and have a certain length barrel with a certain twist, and like me, my rifle, the hypersonics, they're very hard to group. I shoot down into the 67 grain or 68 grain, and that's 62 to 68 grain. 62, actually, I get the best, tightest group out of my rifle, and that's a specific manufacturer bullet. Now, I could experience with the ballistics of different manufacturers and grains and types of bullet, whether it be a ball round or if it's a full metal jacket or if it's a lead bullet, or there are a lot. There are so many different factors in the accuracy of your weapon. You can take a cheap weapon, figure out which round and what grain bullet shoots best out of that weapon, and you can make it an accurate weapon.
That concludes our discussion today, and we appreciate you for listening. We want to hear your views and comments about today's episode. Just send us an email to podteam@theconstitutioncommandos.org. Also, visit podchaser.com to rate and review our podcast. Let us know how we're doing. It only takes a moment, but it helps us tremendously. Until next time, and on behalf of my brother and myself, we're the Constitution Commandos, and we're signing off.